Some very exciting news for the Far Northern tourism industry in recent days with the announcement of the long-awaited travel bubble with our friends across the ditch in New Zealand. The travel bubble between NZ and Australia will kick off on April 18. To get some insight into this announcement and what it will look like on the ground in New Zealand, I've put in a call to a very dear friend, a former journalism colleague here in Australia. Her name is Rebecca Falconer. She is now based in New Zealand with global news site Axios, a fantastic news site based out of the US. Beck, welcome to the King Review.
Hey King, thanks for having me.
Now, I'm interested to know, Beck, from a New Zealand point of view and from a passenger point of view, when Aussies get on that plane, fly across the ditch, what type of experience will they have when they land in New Zealand?
Yeah, so this is how it goes from the booking, actually. Australians who intend to travel to NZ, they have to book what they're calling a green zone flight. Now, this is a COVID prevention whereby there will be no passengers on that flight who have come from anywhere but Australia in the 14 days leading up to that date. And that's just one of the COVID prevention measures they're taking, because obviously there's no need to quarantine once you get here, which is pretty awesome, because those, you guys know about the manager isolation hotel facilities, you know, they're not a lot of fun. You're stuck in the hotel room. There'll be none of that. You can go out and explore. And should there be an outbreak, say, in one of the states, they've actually prepared for that as well. Similar model to what they did with the alert level 4-tier system that they had for lockdown and what have you, where they've got three possible scenarios prepared for: continue, pause, suspend travel. So, yeah, it just depends on the outbreak as to how they react. It could end up being that if there's an outbreak in another state, you might have to wait it out a bit longer. But, you know, of course, it's a pandemic. You never know what's going to happen next. But they've certainly put some good procedures in place. And I know that they're keen for the Aussie dollar. And I know when I spoke to Tourism New Zealand's interim CEO the other day, she reckons it's going to be worth like up to like $1 billion to the NZ economy by the end of the year. And obviously, you know, that Aussie tourism is a key, an essential part of, you know, New Zealand economy. And so, yeah, everyone's just chomping at the bit, really, for the Aussies to come over.
And we would welcome, of course, Kiwis to visit our beautiful part of the world as well. There's been a lot of outrage, confusion, concern domestically here in Australia, where people, these snap border closures, it's seemingly ad hoc. Every state does something different, and then the feds don't really have any responsibility for these border closures. And you had examples here in Australia over recent months where people would literally be mid-air. I'm thinking now particularly of flights into Western Australia. People would be mid-air and the Premier over there would announce that the border was closed. And so you've jumped on a plane in Queensland or New South Wales or wherever, and you land over in WA, and all of a sudden you automatically go into, you know, a two-week quarantine. Has the New Zealand government said anything after this travel bubble announcement about, you know, will potentially Australian tourists experience anything like that, where, you know, it might be fine the morning that you leave and jump on that plane here in Australia, but then something happens either in New Zealand or in the state you're coming from, and all of a sudden you land and there's you know, some outbreak at either end. Any word on what might happen in that scenario?
I have looked into the insurance point of view of it, actually. Unfortunately, if there is a general travel disruption due to COVID, that's generally not covered as a rule. So that is something that people have to bear in mind. And if there is an outbreak, they might be stuck somewhere for longer, you know. But the way it's worked here anyway, when there has been a lockdown, so there's been one national lockdown, that was the major one, level 4, which has only happened once. There's always advance notice, and then there were further 3 level 3 much lesser lockdowns in Auckland. Actually, that's not too bad. Shops are still open and what have you. It's all pretty organised. Usually here, the way it works is they give you advance notice and they'll say at a minute to midnight, we are imposing a lockdown. Mm. Although there was an exception the last time because there was a boxing match on and that would have clashed with that. So they transferred that to the morning. But everything's been pretty well planned this side of it. Obviously, you can't predict what's going to happen, can you? And it is a concern. I know the business community are cautiously optimistic about this, but they are concerned. They want to protect the COVID-free lifestyle we have here. But it has been deemed low risk. Yeah, but it is very difficult because obviously every state in Australia is different. They've got different rules, haven't they? Mm.
And I think I heard earlier this week that someone from NZ government or tourism body talked about traveller beware. So there is, you know, there is an element of risk, I guess, when people jump on those planes. As you said, who knows what can happen from day to day with this pandemic. Now, Beck, there's controversy raging at the moment in Australia about the vaccine rollout. States are at war with each other. The feds are blaming Europe. The states are blaming the feds. It's really just your targets haven't been met, all this type of thing. Can you just give us a quick rundown? The vaccine rollout in New Zealand, how's that travelling?
On the whole, pretty good. They have been a little bit sluggish, like for the weekend in April 4, the goal was to administer 31,523 vaccines, but instead there were like 28,156 doses delivered. And then the week before that, the goal was 20,695, but 19,451 were administered. So it's slightly off the target, and there has been some criticism of that, but the Director General said that they're still meeting about 96% of the target. Given there's no COVID here, there's less of an urgency. And from the start, to be honest with you, the way that they've managed it has been more like, we'll wait our turn. And then the way they've done it here is they've actually administered vaccines from the border outward. So first people to get the vaccine were people who worked in managed isolation facilities. Then it was people at the airport, and it's come back from there. Now they're up to health officials. They are slightly behind. It is a concern. There's only one vaccine here. They've gone all in with Pfizer, which can be risky. But on the whole, it hasn't been too bad. But we'll see.
Well, look, it's a never-ending roller coaster ride, isn't it? And I know as a journo yourself, you no doubt have experienced that roller coaster ride reporting on it for Axios over the past 12 months or so. Rebecca Falconer, great pleasure to have you on The King Review.
That's awesome. Thank you.